Please enjoy the music while your party's being reached.
Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3. Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3. Okay, welcome back. We're recording. We are live. Hello. There's some new girls, and I'm assuming gays, who are fans of Laura Marie Shane Halls. Got some new subscribers. Welcome again. Happy to have you here. It's such a great time recording with Laura. I mean, she's the blueprint. She's why we do it. Also, after we recorded, me and some friends went to the Gramercy Theater to see Sex Unique Podcast live, and it was a total laugh riot, and it felt like amazing. I don't really go out to like events like that so much. I haven't seen live music in like honestly years, which is kind of a huge oversight and alarming. It's a little alarming. Anyways, if Sub is coming to a town near you, I highly suggest you grab a ticket. Anyways, I'm going to tackle part two of my year interview list solo, because time is of the essence, and I think it's like five parts. I'm at like 130, 140 topics right now. And so I'm just looking at the calendar, and I'm like, holy shit. I forgot how busy the holiday season is. Also, when did everyone decide to have a birthday party in mid to late December? Like, wow, I just like forgot that was a thing, and it's like, oh my god. The weather is also putrid. It's like rainy and cold, and it's like, I can't do shit. I can't do shit. Anyways, before I like truly swan dive into the list tonight, I did want to touch on something a bit random. I discovered a new kind of potato. That's right. No, you heard that correctly. I discovered a new kind of potato. I assumed I was at a point in my life on this godforsaken earth where I knew about like every kind of way to prepare a potato. But when you make a plan, God laughs. Okay, so the potato in question, the potato I'm talking about, is called the fondant potato. You may be like scratching your temple, like, what's he talking about? Fondant potato? It might be fondant. It is seemingly French, but then again, it's like most food is randomly French. So I Googled it, and let me just tell you. So I heard about it. I heard about it on, where did I hear about it? Hold on, shit. Oh, it was the, New York Times Strands word game the other day, like 4 or 5 days ago. It was like types of potatoes, and like, it was the last word I got. I was like, fondant? To me, fondant was this kind of like sugary kind of thing you like roll over like a cake that like only strange bakers use on like their TikTok to make things look like real objects. Like, I didn't really know fondant went into the vegetable realm. So I Googled it. I'll just give you the definition, the like Google AI generated definition. Okay, it says they are large rounds of russet potatoes that are browned in butter and roasted in the oven with stock and butter. So basically, they look like big scallops. I honestly can't believe that. Like, you have to cut them into cylinders, which quite frankly seems dangerous and might explain why this type of potato is rare. But I think the preparation might be worth the reward. So it looks, yeah, like a short, squat cylinder potato. You brown them on both sides, I think in a skillet, and then put the skillet in the oven with stock, chicken, beef, vegetable stock. I don't know. Stock to me, I don't really know what it means. It's soup. Ultimately, it's soup, but it's like made from the ingredients of soup. So like, it's like a snake eating its tail. I like really don't know about stock, but I think I fundamentally get it. It's like you put, if you live in the country, you put a bunch of like bones and like vegetables, boil it, strain it. That's stock. That seems, wait, that's what stock is. Okay. So I know what stock is. So you put the stock, in the skillet with the potatoes after you brown them on both sides with butter, and then you like roast them. Roasting, here's where things, is that just baking them? No, roasting is baking. If you roast vegetables, you like put them in the oven. Does that mean it's like closer to the top of the oven? Guys, okay, I'm going down a spiral. I can't go down a potato spiral this early on in the episode. But sound off in the comments. Let me know if you've ever had a fondant potato. I hope I get to have one this holiday season. I don't know if I will, but I'll start sending the recipe around to people that like to cook, and I'll be like, if you ever want to have one over for potatoes, let me know. Okay, so we're going to get into topics 26 through 50 tonight. I'll have guests on. It's just hard to schedule, and I just don't feel like it. I'm just like, oh God. I already cleaned my entire apartment and had Laura over, and I'm like, not even sure if like, it, like I just like put my quilt over the edge of my bed so she couldn't see under it. But there are like dust bunnies the size of like, I would assume you could fill like a pillowcase up with the dust bunnies up in there. Why am I admitting that? Anyways, okay, let's get it cracking. Number 26. Transgender Day of Awareness falls on Easter Sunday. So I did Google this. Transgender Day of Awareness started in 2009. So I'm assuming it's fallen on Easter before, but now that trans issues have reached a fever pitch, partly because the Democratic Party this election cycle had like virtually nothing to run on, they're like, well, we can protect abortion, even though they haven't the last four fucking years. And we can also like protect trans kids, which no one gives a fuck about. So of course the online echo chamber popped off. I don't have a lot to say about this topic. It's kind of neither here nor there. It was like a 2-day thing where it's like, all right, I'm glad you guys blew off some steam. There's more important things going on. Allegedly. I don't fucking know. Next topic. Number 27. Erin Bushnell self-immolates.
What happened to hello? How are you? My name is. What happened to that?
So, here's my thing. I've kind of designed my timeline on Twitter to be like far right, far left. I think most people are just like moderate centrist with like no real clue or interest how things work, like myself included. I think it's helpful to have all these voices to help form your own opinion. However, this instance was like very cut and dry for me on like a personal level, because like how could it not be personal? Okay, so like Erin Bushnell, he was like an ex-Marine, I think. He set himself on fire in like a parking lot or like an alley. And like filmed it to protest the like Israel-Gaza situation. And a lot of people on the timeline were like, oh my God, he's so brave. This is so amazing. A lot of people were like, oh, he's such an idiot. Why would he do that? And I was like, well, brave, sure. I mean, boisterous, definitely boisterous. Here's the thing. If like one of your friends, like one of your close personal friends, your best friend, maybe even a family member was like, hey, so tomorrow I'm gonna light myself on fire to protest Gaza. Would you be like, you know what? You're so brave. You should do that. There's no way in hell anyone in their right mind would encourage someone to self-immolate. a young person with so much potential. But then, like, why would... It's, like, a very, like, good enough for thee, but not for me. Like, why is it okay for a stranger to do that? What is a stranger? What is a stranger, ultimately? We're all part of the same human family. Why would you be like, you know what? Go ahead. Like, do it. You're proving a point. If you wouldn't, like, recommend, like, one of your friends or family to do it, which I know any living, breathing person wouldn't, like, how could you really encourage a young man or, like, really... I mean, you don't want to, like, not... I mean, he's already dead. It's like, what can you do? Like, so it is rude to be like, oh, he died in vain. Like, I'm not even like, I just don't say shit. Like, I don't say shit. I wait till like 11 months later and like pop off on the podcast. Whatever. I do, you know, hope his family and friends are okay. I mean, Jesus Christ, it's fucking, everything's very dark. Next topic. Number 28. Flocko the owl, rest in peace. Flocko the owl was a barn owl or something. He was living in, like, Central Park. He was living in the Upper West, East Side. All my bird Twitter accounts that I follow, I think Manhattan Birdwatch is the main one that I think is worth a follow. Photographed him endlessly. It was like so cool. This owl was just kind of like, I mean, listen, he's no Mandy the Mandarin Duck from like 2019, but he kind of filled a void that had been absent for almost 5 years. I thought he'd flown into a window and died, but then I googled it and he died with rat poison in his system. I was like, oh, so he ate some like rat traps or something, which is very sad. He also died with, and I'm quoting this because I googled it, severe pigeon herpes virus.
All right.
Didn't know Flocko got down that way. Now I'm thinking, like, I'm wondering, you know, real heads of the pod know the pigeon that lived in my fire escape, Diane. I'm like, did she have herpes? Like, do pigeons just have herpes virus? Is the pigeon herpes virus transmissible to human beings? I'm not going to Google because I don't want to know. Like, at all. I just don't want to know. Next topic. Number 29. Migrant crisis. Well, I don't have a lot of notes for this. In fact, I have no notes. I guess it just was happening then, and I think things have maybe ramped up and don't seem to be going away. How will the next administration handle it? I don't know. I'm assuming the mass deportations will have a different tone than under Biden's administration, because when Republicans do things like have any sort of control of the border, it's like children's in cages, mass deportations. But when like Biden or Obama does it, it's like children detention centers, or like, it's just like all the same fucking bullshit. I'm so tired of everything. I can't deal with it anymore. I just can't fucking deal. I'm so tired of parsing through information. It's like, why can't we just have the truth? Why is the truth so hard to find in our contemporary media landscape? Has it ever been that true? I don't know. Probably fucking not. Anyways. Number 30. Emma Stone wins Best Actress for her role in the movie Poor Things. Sorry, Poor Things. I wouldn't rewatch it, but I enjoyed it more than I thought I would. I enjoyed Mark Ruffalo's bare ass just pounding away in the bedroom. The movie's kind of like sweaty and nasty, which makes sense for the time period it was set in. Although, actually, was it even based in real time? It seemed like this steampunk futuristic thing, if I remember correctly now. So, like, who knows? And ultimately, who cares? Director Yorgos Lanthimos is cool. Even though, like, I was reading, like, some... Armand White like he's just said that like Yorgos Lanthimos is like, I was looking at some reviews on Letterboxd from Armand White, and he's like, Yorgos Lag. Oh my god, guys, these names are Yorgos Lanthimos. He's saying he's like the worst, most overrated director of our time. And I was like, oh Jesus Christ, really? Armand White is so random. They're like, he'll like decimate every single fucking good movie, and then be like, Mighty Ducks 2. He doesn't sound like that. He's like a black guy. He's like, but I'm not gonna Mighty Ducks. Mighty Ducks 2 is a triumph of American cinema or something. It's like, obviously that's like not a real example. You get the drift. Like where'd he fucking come up with that shit? Anyways, I watched Kinds of Kindness last night. It's another Yorgos Lanthimos movie. It is almost 3 hours long, and it's like three kind of it's like there's credit, there's like different sets of credits, like 3 1-hour long shorts, I guess. Kind of long though. Are we gonna call them longs? It's kind of like if Black Mirror didn't have computers and it was actually good. I can imagine seeing it in a theater would be kind of annoying. However, I watched it in the comfort of my own home, and I got to pause it, go outside, smoke a little cigarette, only once. And then I don't know. I think it actually might be like incredibly good. Like, I think it might be like very good. I heard a lot of negative things about it, but that was from friends that saw it in a theater. And I can imagine I would be a little like, wrap it the fuck up. But if you have the time, you're at home, I recommend the movie. It's quite good. There's stuff to think about. There's overlapping themes. I mean, a lot of the cast is the same. There's things that reappear. Like, there's like a Hyundai, a hatchback that happens to be in all the scenes in each one of these things. And I'm like, so they're tied together. I think a lot of people miss that, by the way. It's like a new Hyundai. Like, what's the entry-level hatchback? Not the Kona. Is it the Hyundai Kona? Very generic, very entry-level. It's kind of amazing even like selected this to be a minor character. I'm on board with Yorgos Lanthimos. I'm sorry, Armand White. Whatever. I'm gonna unfollow him on Letterboxd. I'm like so tired of seeing his shit. He's so negative. Like, he hates everything. Next topic. Number 31. Rolling Stone, Jonathan Van Ness expose. I kind of don't remember a lot of the details, but I will say it's not surprising that a non-binary ex-meth addict is an absolute fucking nightmare to work with. Like, can you actually imagine? Can you imagine? That's like, I mean, if you're like, who, you know, say someone puts a gun to your head and they're like, who would you want to work with? There's option A, which is anyone in the world. And there's option B, which is like non-binary ex-method who happens to be HIV positive. That doesn't matter. But like, we'd be like, probably going to roll the dice with option A. Because option B is like kind of the worst you could ever imagine. Anyways, this kind of curtails nicely into topic number 32. Dylan Mulvaney releases the Girls of Dayhood music video. I watched this shit like 3 times in a row when it came out. Like, I basically could not believe my eyes and ears. She like really tries to hit high notes, and it's like, it like actually sounds like that's like, and I'm like, work, bitch. The video is like a pool party kind of Palm Spring vibe. It's all trans chicks in the video, I think, mostly. I don't really... There might be other, like, backup dancers and shit. But there's a scene in it where, like, I... the first time I watched it, I thought... There's a piano player who's kind of like a woman of a certain age who's, like, got red hair. And I thought that she actually got, like, J.K. Rowling to play the piano in her video. And, like, she, like, snuggles up with her and, like, puts her head on her shoulder. I'm like, if fucking Dylan Mulvaney got J.K. Rowling to be in this video, it wasn't her. It wasn't her. And it wasn't like Florence in the Machine. It was like someone else. And I'm sure this woman's like very influential and important. I didn't do my research entirely for all these topics. Like, guys, how would you really expect me to? It's like too much. It's too much to do that much research for a podcast that like no one fucking listens to. I don't know why they don't. They just don't. But I don't put my all into it, but I put like 80% in. Okay. I'm doing 80% the 20. Sorry. I don't know who's in that fucking video, and you'll probably survive not knowing it either. Next topic. Kate Middleton, quote unquote, goes missing and ends up just having cancer. So she was not around. Personally, I would not notice if she wasn't around. I feel like royal families, literally the president of our country and the vice president have been like nowhere to be seen. And most of the news is reporting on Trump just being like overseas meeting with like the Canadian guy or French guy, Macron. Like he's just like doing shit and people are just like, oh, he's the president. But like, he's not yet. He just isn't the president yet. Biden and Harris are just like looking fine by the sidelines, I guess. It's so weird. So like if, you know, when the news is like, we haven't seen Kate Middleton in weeks, I'm like, who gives a fuck? She's like, I don't know, maybe she's riding a horse, maybe she's doing like charity work somewhere, like, I don't know. But then the royal family released some weird family photo that looked photoshopped. There was like an arm, like a pattern on one of the kids' like flannel shirts that looked off. To me, that didn't really signify anything serious. I'm like, every image is like cobbled together with pixels. Like nothing you see is real. Images inherently lie. So I was like, whatever, who's a shit? And there was like a video of her that people were saying was like AI generated, looked weird. I'm like, maybe so. I don't know. I don't really care. But then it turned out she had cancer, and then everyone felt really bad. Even Andy Cohen like made like a formal apology, because he was like kind of innocuous. He was like, where is Kate? !!! It was like everyone was doing that shit. Like, whatever. He's a very upstanding man. I love Andy Cohen. But that was kind of it. I guess she's fine now. I think she's fine now. Is she fine now? I think she's fine now. I think she beat cancer immediately. There are a lot of rumors about like William Henry. Which one is it? William. Wait, Henry and Meghan. Is it William and Meghan? The bald older one was cheating on her. Seems to be the truth. Seemed like she wanted to leave the family. And they're like, either you pretend to have cancer or we kill you. It's kind of my impression. So she had cancer. And heart goes out to the whole family. I think they'll be okay. I think they're fine. I think they're already okay. I think they're fine. I think they're fine. Don't mean to be a bitch. About cancer. Cancer has touched everyone's lives. I mine include. Just don't even start. Okay. Next topic, number 34. Christine Quinn's husband arrested for domestic violence. Yikes. Not sure what to say about this other than I just wish that Christine was still on Selling Sunset to tell her side of the story, because the show sucks ass now. Selling the OC is much better. And actually, I watched the first episode of like Sold on SLC, and it was honestly, I would say, like fantastic. I was sucked in the first like 10 minutes. Interesting characters, interesting landscape. It's like basically how like where like God meets real estate, because like Mormonism is like huge in Salt Lake City. You can't ignore it. The show like basically can't ignore how influential like Mormonism is on real estate and what they're looking for. I learned about a new thing called a Costco door from the garage to the kitchen, and it looks like it's the size of like a big like doggy door, And it's so you pull your car into the garage, unload your like vehicle, and it's like you just slide things from the garage into the kitchen, into your, no, it's directly into a pantry, which I thought was like kind of genius and like makes a lot of sense. But that's what we're talking about in Utah. It's not like, oh, there's like a billiards room and like a movie theater and like a fucking waterfall, bamboo entryway, and they're like a 3,000 bottle wine fridge when you enter. It's like, no, it's like Costco door. You're paying $2 million for like a fucking cookie cutter plywood piece of shit house that I think I could actually like push over if I like smoked enough meth. I could like absolutely destroy these houses like from beam to beam. I'd be like, fuck it, like it's just, it'd look so structurally unsound. Anyways, I wish Kristen Quinn, we're in the arena. I was looking at my next topic, which involves Kristen Doty, so my apologies. Number 35. The Valley premieres. Thank God this ended up being amazing. We really needed this win. It's like the next logical step in documenting millennial love and like mating rituals where Vanderpump Rules left off. Like, what is this crowd? Like, what does marriage and kids resemble in their age, their day-to-day life in Los Angeles? What does it look like moving to the suburbs, essentially? I've never been to the Valley, not in a bitchy way. I've been to like LA twice and I've never ventured that far. It was nice to meet Jesse Lally on this show. He's kind of the new Jax. You know, he did like ayahuasca and then like put a beanie on, a very, very slouchy beanie, and is saying he's like changed his ways. And then watching his wife, Michelle, like the expression on her face, who did not seem like she could be in any less of love with him than before this moment, actually sink deeper and deeper into being like morbidly disappointed, is incredible television. Kristen Doty getting with this weird guy from Colorado she met at a wedding. it has to be that. And you know, circling back to present day, I mean, these are topics on future episodes of my year in review, which will be released in a few days, essentially. Kristen is pregnant. She's released, she's a gender reveal party, having a girl. I'm so happy for Kristen. But when Luke moved in on the Valley, you know, he's like, so like I have a gecko and like I can't live in LA. And they have like two refrigerators in their little apartment. I was like, I don't know if they can make it work. I don't know if they can make it work. Something inside me knew they would make it work. And I feel like they're bonded in a way. Because Luke would stick up for Kristen, even though they're both at a certain age where it's like kind of hard to defend Kristen. But like, honestly, she's doing all right. Like, I just want the best for Kristen. Because like, Kristen represents my friends in my 20s that I was just like, I don't want anything to do with you anymore. And there's no like hard feelings. It's just like indifference where I'm like, I really wish you the best. I want everything to work out for you. Then it seems like these people that I'm like pitying are like doing better than me now that I'm in my mid to late 30s and have nothing going on except like this podcast and like a feeble part-time job and you know, whatever. Like, I wish everyone the best, especially Kristen Doty. She's given her life to the show and us as viewers. So next season's gonna be crazy. Like, Jax is getting served divorce papers after he gets out of rehab, which, like,
all right,
can't wait for that. It's the never-ending saga with Jax. Like, it just, he can't not be, like, perpetually entertaining. Also, I still think he's hot. Sorry.
Act the fool, girl. I'm here. Act the fool.
Well, anyways, let's just keep it moving. We have quite a few more topics left. Number 36. Feds raid Diddy's house. I mean, more on that later, because, like, this topic will rear its ugly head in, again, near future episodes, and truly not sure what to say at this moment. This is before, like, the news of, like, Freak Offs and Baby Oil and, like, Jay-Z, but, like, the music industry in all of its corners, in kind of every genre, is just full of sexual deviance with too much power and too much money. And it's like the same thing goes with, like, politics. Like, politicians, regal people, it's like you get so much power, you just want to, like, have sex with kids. Like, oh my god, ew, like, what is up with what is actually up with that? Like, if I think if I had all the money in the world, I'd be like, I'd be going on vacation, I'd be having just, like, nice little dinner parties. But to be like, I'm gonna, like, enslave children on an island, like, how do you even? I just don't understand. And I never will. And it's probably better we don't even try to. Anyways, guys, sorry. Let's just move on to topic number 37, which is sort of related. Cowboy Carter. Okay, so basically, I could only listen to 3 to 4 songs in a row before turning it completely off. I was on a road trip with friends, and the next topic will tie into this topic, in case you're thinking of tuning out. You know, I love Destiny's Child. I've been on board with Beyonce for a while. I think after the album 4, I was kind of like, okay, well, Lemonade was good, and then Baychella was amazing, and I cried watching it live on, like, the shittiest stream you could ever imagine, in my friend's Bushwick apartment. Anna, Emily, Leia, that was a different era. I haven't hated Beyonce or anything like that. I will just say her voice is, like, exhausting. There's something about the quality of her voice now where it's just, like, it's a little unpleasant in the sense where it's like she's stretching it too far and she doesn't maybe even need to. By the way, I still haven't even listened to Renaissance. I've heard some songs and I'm like, okay, I just, like, can't buy what she's selling these days. Just authenticity seems impossible with her. It's like, just, like, not even part of the conversation. I don't think she wants to live on the same planet as any of us, quite frankly. And I get it, celebrity culture is terrible. She doesn't want to be seen. Like, I can understand that. That's terrible for art. Like, art is supposed to connect people. You can't just, like, land back on planet Earth and be like, here's my new thing, like, check it out. It's like, okay, but, like, where are you coming from? Like, think about, like, Dolly Parton. Think about country music. Think about Dolly Parton. She's famous as fuck, too. She can't leave the goddamn house. But then Beyonce is like, yeah, I'm gonna make a country album. Yeah, but, like, I don't want... You know, your husband is alleged to... Okay, again, we'll do that in a later episode. It just isn't... It's, like, nothing even, like, sounds extraordinary to me. It does sound like there's 40 people producing a song, and it's like, okay, we get it. Like, you're making something to I come from a point of view where, like, you should use the simplest means as possible to get your message across. I think most artists do. It seems like Beyonce is doing the complete opposite of that, where it's like, I'm going to absolutely bombard the listeners with as many references, as many producers, as many writers as I possibly can to prove to you that I have a soul and I'm an artist and I'm the best artist in the world. And it's just not landing for me. I have no problem with her making a country album, by the way. Like, it's fine. Like, I don't, there's no like ethics involved. She's from Texas. Like, make a country album, girl. Like, I don't give a fuck. It really doesn't bother me in the slightest bit. But I mean, there's like moments, there's like little flourishes where I'm like, oh, that's cool. But then it dissipates quickly. And I'm like, why am I even listening to this? Like, if I didn't know who she was and I was listening to it, I'd be like, well, this is impressive on some certain technical levels. It's all technical. And like, I'm a Virgo as well as Beyonce. So I do, I'm unsuccessful in my life because I try to betray my own instincts, which is like to try to be like so technically proficient and everything. So like, if you're listening to the pod and there's a little bit of wabi-sabi, there's a little bit of like, nuance or like I'm struggling, I keep it in for a reason because I fucking hate the Beyoncification of like the music industry. Are it just sounds horrible. It's like not even, it's like ear piercing. It's like, ugh, it's soulless. Even though I do think Beyonce might have a soul left in her, actually unclear, truly fucking unclear. And you guys stream Cowboy Carter. Ugh, Lord. I just worked myself up. It's kind of insane. Okay. Let's move on to number topic 38. Solar eclipse. As I mentioned just a few minutes ago, I did take a little road trip up to Rochester, New York, where I spent my formative years going to college at the Rochester Institute of Technology. Best friend of the pod, Sean, is somewhat recently moved back. It's a very cute house. We stayed there. It was like a few days of just like friendship and companionship bonding over the solar eclipse that was about to happen. I've never seen like a, actually no, scratch that. When I was 4 years old in kindergarten, there was a total eclipse in Elmira, New York, where I grew up. A total eclipse, like there's paths of totality is what they call it. So the eclipse will happen in a lot of places, but like it, it's the moon going in front of the sun, right? The moon blocks the sun. Well, it can't be the way around because the sun is so far away from the moon. Okay. So in certain parts of the country, you can only view this like total eclipse of the sun. We drove up to Rochester from New York City. Me, Louis, Paris, Aaron. Okay. Four of us. And of course, like it's, and I'm watching this happen on social media. It's sunny, beautiful everywhere in the world, except for Rochester, New York, which is like so cloudy. Ultimately I didn't mind because like the experience of being with the friends is amazing, but then like I think it was like 2:33 in the afternoon. I guess moon passed in front of the sun. I hope I'm getting it right, because if I'm wrong about that, like that is actually alarming. But it got like 10 to 15 degrees colder. I think it lasted like what, like 10, 15 minutes. So dogs, I feel like, started barking. Birds were acting a little weird. I'm having like a spiritual experience. I love nature. It's like my temple is just like the wilderness, nature trails. It's where I collect myself. So, I mean, I'm loving this immensely. One of Sean's neighbors comes out. This is like suburbs of Rochester near Lake Ontario. This guy in a Bills jersey comes out of his house. This guy in a Bills jersey comes out and he just opens his front door and he's like, it's like pitch black in the middle of the fucking day. And he's like, Oh, that's it. And just like slams his door. And I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, I've rearranged my entire life to have this moment. I'm like basking in like all of the glory of like the planets and the solar system and Earth, and just like also my human friends. And this guy comes out in a Bills jersey. He's like, oh, that's it. Because it's just like dark out. And I'm like, I kind of get where he's coming from. But I thought the solar eclipse was like 10 out of 10. No matter what happened, it was just fantastic. And I would do it again in a heartbeat. One of the best days of my life, honestly, or last decade. It was fantastic. I don't need to rank it. I think because I'm like going through a list right now, I have the impulse to rank, but I don't want to rank. I love that day. And the days surrounding it, just like being with friends, having a common goal, which is like, let's like appreciate and honor like the systems of the globe that we can't really even understand. So, period, bitch. Period. Next topic, number 40. We've got 10 left. Oh, we're in the top 10 now. Number 40. Oh, wait, no, number 39. Fuck. Okay, sorry. Number 39. Earthquake in New York. Okay, so there was a fucking full-on earthquake. Personally, I did not feel it. And this is shocking because I was in a situation where like I should have felt it the most out of everyone. So one of my, my little gigs that I do is I do like kind of basically like e-com photography for an artist, ceramic artist. You know, they make a lot of stuff. I don't want to say a name because I don't like to mix business and pleasure. But they're expensive like lamps and like ceramic vessels and like furniture and stuff. And I'm not even kidding you. Like when the earthquake happened, I was doing my work. I was putting like either a lamp or like a huge ceramic like vessel, like, you know, vase bigger. I mean, these are expensive fucking items, onto like a podium, like a little pedestal, like Night at the Museum style. And I didn't notice a goddamn thing that my phone starts blowing up. And this is like a rickety old like bottling factory turned artist studio compound in Bushwick off the Flushing stop, where I used to live 13 years ago, whatever. So like that was that, it's such a precarious moment. And I didn't like, it should have been like, oh, I can't keep this little like giant vase on the podium. But I didn't feel or notice anything. The building's rickety. You hear everything. You hear people walking upstairs, downstairs, all around. You hear everything. So the fact that I didn't hear the earthquake, I was actually kind of disappointed in myself. I'm like, bitch, I thought you were tuned in. I thought you were tuned into the, you know, world around you. Anyways, I don't need to like pathologize that. I was just like, how did I not feel the fucking earthquake? And I was kind of mad. I wanted to feel the earthquake, you know? I want to feel the earthquake. Is it a crime? Is wanting to feel the earthquake a crime? Sound off the comments. Anyways, now we're at number 40. OJ Simpson. R.I.B. It's still kind of feeling like he's alive. Like, I feel like OJ Simpson will never die. Because his, like, trial, police capture, the chase, was such a cultural reset. The celebrity media frenzy of the court case, there will be nothing like that ever again. Like, ever again. It's like Michael Jackson. They're not related directly, but you know what I mean? It's like, O.J. Simpson was seemingly the first celebrity murder trial when, like, everyone would just have the news on all the time. And it was like, that was huge. There'll never be a pop star like Michael Jackson because his global reach was the first to really ever do that. Like, we're just not going to have that again. Now we have like Charlie XCX and like, people are squabbling over like actually, Camila Cabello is better than Sabrina Carpenter. It's like, get a fucking life. Get a life. No one cares. Literally no one cares. Well, next topic. Number 41, Lana Chella. Lana Del Rey headlined Coachella. She dropped some pounds. Looked like a perfect little princess figure skater. And I believe custom Dior. I would have to fact check that, but I believe it was custom Dior. There were a lot of sound issues, which is unsettling. However, like, I wasn't there, so, like, who cares? It's like these things live on in, like, little, like, tweet clips, like, 20 seconds, like, Lana's microphone's fucking up. It's like, a performance is, like, you're there or you're not. So, like, get over, like, just don't even try to pretend like it matters to you. You weren't there. You were not at Lana Chella. I know you're running a little fan account. Just don't bother. Don't be like, oh, no, what are we going to do? It's like, it happened. It's a moment that happened. The moment is over. The fact that she got it is, let's just celebrate that. Do you know what I mean? Like, just, like, I don't know if people know what I'm...
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
Exactly. Happy for her. She was my top streamed artist this year, as it is every year. She's every year at the top. It's like, I only listen to Lana Del Rey, I listen to podcasts, I listen to the radio. That's it. Everything else, you know, I kind of dip and do it. You know, whatever. But Lana's where I go at night, mostly, when I'm alone. Which I am every night. And it's like, well, let me settle into this if I can even try. You know what I mean? Oh my god, Nevin. Let's, we're at 42. Oh, another music topic. Number 42, another Taylor Swift album. This one was called The Tortured Poet Society. More like Tortured Gay Guy Who Doesn't Like Your Music or Personality Anymore. Society. Now listen, Taylor Swift has contributed a lot to music. I get it. She's very talented. When Folklore came out in 2020, that was my kind of early pandemic album. I was like, oh, this is kind of getting me through some shit. Then the hysteria around her tour and Travis Kelce and stuff, it was endless. And I will never forgive her for that. And I'm sorry to the Swifties out there. It's just, she went too far. She went way too far. Didn't listen to the album. Happy for her, or sorry that happened, like, to me. Next topic. Number 43. Nymphia Wind wins Drag Race. Kind of an unexpected win considering her track record on the season. It was good, but it wasn't, like, superb. Safira was winning most of the challenges. But Nymphia Wind did make it to the finale episode, fair and square. And then she did absolutely demolish the competition in the Drag Race finale episode. So she won. And that's just kind of how it goes. I'm happy for her. She's, like, cool. I mean, Safira had, actually, in hindsight, Safira, like, as much as I thought she was, like, the personality and, like, very funny and very cool, there's not a lot to remember. Sorry. But Nymphia Wind, who had the fashions, she's, like, a genius. She's, like, oh my god, there was that one, she proved herself. This would have been one of the best, like, challenge wins in Drag Race history. It was, like, you had to, like, dig through fabrics and scraps and make an outfit, and which is, like, the challenge we like to see. You know, where is Project Runway? Where is Making the Cut? Where is any fashion competition show right now? There's none. That's why the country's in disarray. There's no fashion competition show to kind of ground us. Anyways, she made this kind of, like, what did you say, like, Vivian Westwood inspired? But it was, like, made it like she made everything look like a tie, like a necktie, and used like metal hangers and wires and like made it this like voluminous fucking gorgeous dress that it's shocking that like anyone could make this, let alone in like one day. So that alone, I'm like, bitch. Anyways, there's a new season of Drag Race premiering in like 1 month from now. So like, you know, whatever. It's time to build a bridge and get over it. Next topic, number 44. The Dance Moms reunion. I love Dance Moms so much. Like, those of you who are new here, like, I will go to bat for Abby Lee Miller any day of the week. So I feel like Nia, Maddie, and there was like one of the other main girls, like the same day it was being filmed near where, I mean, in LA, they like hosted like a little party for themselves. I was like, oh, they must be so proud. Of course, Mackenzie was there too, because it's like she's a younger sister of Maddie. That was shady. Very shady. Didn't like that. However, Chloe from like Dance Moms, she showed up. She's a lesbian, which I was like, oh my God.
My God, there's room for everybody. Let's just say that.
Of course, there's like so many lesbians in like the dance community. Like, I know a lot of like ballet girls that are just like tortured, closeted lesbians. Like, I think even like still to this day, I'm like, yo, like, you're a lesbian.
Black stockings, white shoes. Shouldn't be allowed in the church.
Anyways, it's fine. Even still to this day, like, JoJo Siwa was kind of the only one that, like, really publicly, like, admires or respects Abby Lee Miller and, like, the work that she did. That goes to show you, like, a lot. JoJo Siwa is another topic in this episode, like, one topic from now, so I'm gonna save that for a minute. But the Dance Moms reunion was it was great to see. Could have gone further if everyone chose to participate, but Maddie Ziegler, you know, she was the biggest star of the show, besides JoJo. But like, while it was filming, Maddie was like the one winning all the competitions. And then Sia caught notice, put her in some music videos. Music videos that like touch my heart, like make me cry still to this day. Chandelier, the one with Shia LaBeouf, which damn, he looked fucking good in the video. And Maddie was like, in interviews later, was like, he smelled really bad. I was like, oh my God, like what? Okay, that's disgusting. Sorry, I'm not getting into that. But, C is also kind of, I'm going to just say something on record here, also off record. Something is up with Sia. She said that like after Maddie filmed these music videos that Maddie would get a lot of like unwanted attention from the public, which I'm sure is true. But then Sia kind of hired a 24/7 security guard, like a bunch of different security guards, to stand outside of Maddie's house for what seemed like years. And I'm like, is that a little extreme? Sia is a person who is sober and seemed to have a lot of fucking issues. And like, her whole thing of like hiding her face and like not wanting to be part of the public sphere while also being part of it. I'm just saying, I'm not saying she's like a Diddy or like Jay-Z figure, but there might be something there. I'm just saying there might be something there. Last night I watched the French movie Last Summer about a French woman, affluent French woman who like is an advocate for teenage girl like sexual abuse victims who like has sex with her teenage stepson. And like, it really is so good. It's so French. It's so perfect. I recommend it highly. It's like basically a perfect movie. It's gorgeous and disgusting. I'm not sure how Sia ties into that, but I think that, like, when there's, when you're exhibiting control over minors, like, something is, like, going on. I'm sorry. There's something going on. I'm not saying every social worker is a pedophile. It's not what I'm saying. I just think Sia might, allegedly, or just in my, I just think there's something there. I don't, but bookmark this episode and circle back in 5 to 10 years. I wouldn't be surprised if something came up. I wouldn't be surprised if something came up. Okay, let's just, we got 5 more topics, or 6, whatever. Number 45 is the 5-year anniversary of Bye Sister and No More Lies. Is the Tati Westbrook, James Charles back and forth YouTube video. I mean, I can't believe it's only 5 years ago. It feels like 10. I could go on and on about this forever. In fact, I did a few months ago. I had a theory that James Charles slept with Tati Westbrook's husband, which I did firmly believe at the time. Now that it's passed, I actually like think that's insane and stupid. It's actually so dumb and there's no way it's true. However, you know, that's the Dial Dan experience. Like, I don't claim to know everything. But I like to get closer and closer to the truth. I just think that if that was true, and here's why I think. I think Jeffree Star would have hinted at it in the slightest in some point. Because Jeffree Star goes on podcasts. He knows like how to market himself. He was on some podcast recently, video, like two girls who are like 23 and I don't even know what the fuck they're talking about. There's some sound bites that I listened to just about how like Jeffree Star goes on TikTok live and makes like $1 million. It's like, Jesus Christ. Good for him. But he did mention the James Charles Tati Westbrook thing, and basically, Jeffrey was like admonishing both of them. He's like, yeah, James was like being so predatory and weird at dinner at Tati Westbrook's birthday dinner. I'm like, James was 19 years old and was like suddenly a millionaire from like rural upstate New York. Like, give him a fucking break, bitch. Like, what? And then he's also saying like Tati Westbrook is like one of the most evil people he's ever met. And I'm like, okay, girl. Like, no, I'm sure maybe she is. Sure. But where's your dick in all this? Like, are you maybe a little sinister too? You literally look like the devil. Jeffree Star is like the devil. Like, if I was like, what would the devil look like if he came to Earth? I'm like, Jeffree Star. It's not Dylan Mulvaney. It's not Caitlyn Jenner. It's Jeffree Star. Like, fully Jeffree Star. Tattoos on his face. Looks like a skeleton. Skull. Face is skull. Huge pores, by the way. I mean, at a certain age, like, you just have pores, and sometimes they'll turn his, like, beauty light off and be like, here's how this foundation is sitting on my skin. And I'm like, oh my God. Like, you have, you know, if you see these, like, makeup beauty muas in real life, or if you've ever seen like a Sephora employee, you know that like when you're wearing that much makeup, you look fucking crazy. Like, you look fucking crazy. And yeah, on camera with a filter on, you look beautiful. That's the whole point. But IRL, holy hell. Okay, let's keep it moving. Number 46. Jojo Siwa gets drunk and punched in the face at Disneyland. Go all the way off, Chica. I will say it's like scary when child stars come of age and start hitting the bottle hard. It's just the darkest path. And it's like, I feel like if you're a child star, you have to be sober. Like, there's so much pain. Pain that is like impossible to heal, even remotely. you can't function under the influence of any drug or substance if you've had like child star pain, because it's like, yeah, everyone gets bullied when they're a kid, but you're so impressionable, you're so young, and like you don't have the weight of the entire world on you. Like, that is a whole other thing. And like, we're adults thinking about this, and we're like, oh, what would happen if that happened to me now? Like, what if I was suddenly thrust in the spotlight and everyone's like picked apart? You know, that's one thing, but when you're like 8 years old, like, that is a completely different thing, and your mind is malleable, and like, you just like have thought patterns that get solidified that I think you will be more likely to self-destruct. I mean, it'd be nice if they could enjoy a drink from time to time, but JoJo Siwa kind of had this like bottle of vodka as a prop, as like a joke where she like chug a bunch of vodka. That could be one thing. However, like, she did go to Disneyland, and then like chug a bunch of vodka, got punched in the face. It must be warranted, because she was like, yeah, she didn't like say what happened. It clearly means it was like her fault. She was acting psychotic. You know, either way, I'd like to know what happened. We never will. Who punched JoJo Siwa in the face? Like, it's like a pretty big cover up that someone at Disneyland punched JoJo Siwa in the face for acting crazy. They didn't even like make a TikTok about it. Whatever, it's fine. Let's keep it moving. Oh, we've done over an hour. Oh shit. Okay. Number 47. The president of Iran dies in a helicopter crash. You know, years ago I would say Iran, but then like seeing woke Twitter from like 12 years ago, it's like, if you say like Iran or Iraq, it's like you're a racist. I'm like, oh, I didn't know that. Like, honestly, still to this day, I'm not sure that's true. Anyways, the president of Iran died in a helicopter crash. I don't know much about this or anything that happens in the Middle East. It's too hard to keep track of. Like, again, happy for you. Sorry that happened. But then it's like, when it's like a figure in the Middle East dies, some people are just like so happy, like, oh my God, my people are finally free. But then they're like, oh no, it's actually a bad thing. I'm like, I don't know. I'm like, oh my God. My heart goes out to everyone. I want everyone to have a dignified, safe existence on planet Earth. I don't know how to enter the president of Iran dying in a helicopter crash. I mean, it seemed like it must be like a missile like shot him out of the sky. I mean, I don't know. Maybe helicopters do be acting crazy though, because like, didn't like LeBron James die last year in like the hazy mist of like a California valley? Like, shit can happen. However, once a president of a nation, yeah, your mind wanders. Your mind wanders. Okay, next up, number 48. The New York City Dublin portal. So this was like I actually think it's like very cool. It's like a big kind of obelisk, like, looked like a mirror, but it was like a two-way, like, video feed of a specific place in, I think, somewhere in Manhattan and somewhere in Dublin. I don't know who chose this or whatever. And so people could, like, communicate directly and see, like, instead of seeing a reflection in this mirror, it was, like, the people on the other side. Actually, I think this is like such a cool idea, and there should be more of these everywhere, because I feel like the technology is like extremely simple and wouldn't be hard to recreate. However, this was shut down after like I think like a few short days, like a week, because like young woman like flashed her tits to the people of Dublin, and they're like, oh no, like, oh my God.
It's like, no big deal, like sucking dick and cock, like, I'm just like, oh my God. Time and place, and you did it at my birthday dinner.
I'm like, is that that big of a deal? There should be like these portals everywhere. People are dying for human connection. They seek it out online. And it might be nice if they went to like the town square the town square and just like waved it like a stranger. I mean, you never know what could happen. I think they're cool. I think the portals are a really good idea. I don't want them to go away. There should be like portals in New York City to be like, oh, I'm in Greenpoint. Like, let me see what's going on in Tribeca. Like, even that short, you know, geographically, it's like, what, like probably like 2 miles. Like, let me see what's Poppington in Tribeca. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. I don't know what's going on in like Madison, Wisconsin. Good. I feel like you guys are smelling what I'm stepping in. I feel like it's like a good idea. There should be a portal in every town. And then how, like, what? The portal should only be at one other place. And that would have to be, that would have to be like strategically chosen. I would like to choose it. I would like to choose it. I'll just say, I would like to choose it. If, okay, so Greenpoint had a portal, I would like it to be like Hudson, New York. Because like the Greenpoint Hudson pipeline is so, so real. It's like you're kind of, you're almost, you've almost completely given up on New York City, but you haven't quite made the formal decision to pack up and leave. And you want to see what's out there. Maybe Rhinebeck. Whatever. Okay. Guys, 2 more topics left. Thank you so much for sticking with me. This next one's a favorite of mine. Number 49. 4 and 9 are my lucky numbers. Challengers, the movie. Favorite movie of the year. Honestly, by far. Maybe top 10 movie of all time. I just rewatched a few days ago. Still absolutely perfect. Perfect movie. Incredible just like storyline. It's so weird and jumbled. And the first watch, I was like, this is a little confusing. Actually, the second watch, I was still kind of like, I mean, you know what happens kind of, but I'm like, this is still a little crazy. But it reflects the nature of the game of tennis. And as someone who was the, I'm so sorry to say this, the captain of the tennis team junior and senior year of high school, I fucking get it. And Josh O'Connor gave the best performance of a man of the entire fucking year. I will say Zendaya did fantastically as well. I'm very happy for her that she got nominated. But Josh O'Connor, I don't know, I'm talking like the 10 new people here, but like most people listen to this podcast, 2 episodes ago, I named Josh O'Connor as like the sexiest man of the year. I'm not even into twinks like that. I'm just not. He just has this kind of like effervescent, like there's always something like bubbling inside of him. He has no choice but to like smile and kind of like be like, like kind of mincing through life. And it's so attractive and so cool. And he like is so like sexy in this movie. Like he's just like so sexy in this movie. Can't explain it. He's like perplexed me. And I've been enamored with him. And wow. Yeah, I just, the movie is seductive. It's seductive. It's cool. The fucking Trent Reznor and Atticus Rose soundtrack, I fucking listen to still to this day. When I'm like leaving my house, I'm like, oh my God, like I have to like walk like 0.23 miles. I gotta perk up and I put on like the song that's like, yeah, 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 or like the fucking Challengers finale song. Like it still, the movie has stuck with me. I think it's fantastic. Truly, truly best movie of the year. I think Janet Planet is also very good. Those are my top two. I have to like actually look through my letterbox. I would say Challengers hit every note in a weird way, and Janet Planet really, because I love a quiet indie movie. I love a quiet indie movie, and Janet Planet, guys, you have to see Janet Planet. It ripped my fucking heart out. And not in an extreme way, in a subtle way. I don't even get how like children can be actors. And you would think maybe I would because I'm a huge Dance Moms fan. But, oh God. Janet Planet. I don't have time. We're an hour and 10. Oh my God, in heaven. Okay. We are at our last topic of the evening, and that is number 50. Something About Her finally opens. This is very fitting. You know, I had Laura on, obviously an expert and advocate of all things Vanderpump Rules. The sandwich venture between Katie and Ariana finally opened. It took them a long time, longer than they expected. They're in a legal battle with Penny. Is her name like literally Penny Lane? It's like Chef Penny. As of like a few days ago, like Chef Penny is suing them to get. Chef Penny's saying that she like founded the whole thing and she wants to be like a third partner, but then Katie and Ariana are like, we just hired you to like do like a menu. You know, I'm actually very so team Katie and Ariana in this, even though I don't like Ariana Grant Maddox at all. This is so late. I'm losing my mind. It took them long enough, whatever. Happy for them. I will say I've seen lots of pictures of the sandwiches. I had friends try them and like truly to me, they look fantastic. Not only are they like good enough for me, like if I had a BLT from Something About Her, I'd be like, this is fucking amazing. My standards are very low. Even though I live in a food city, I don't have a lot of money to go spend at restaurants. So I'm not like, you know, I go to like a Polish kind of a hot buffet bar every few times a week and get a lot of food and it's delicious for me. It's good for me. A lot of people look at it and be like, holy shit, this looks like diarrhea. This looks like slop. How could you eat this? However, it's cabbage and rice and meat. It's like, it's food, you know? All food is basically like that. It's like cabbage roll is in Eastern Europe, like a burrito. It's like you put like rice and meat and it's like different. It's like red sauce on top. It's like actually just like a wet burrito. Food is the same. Especially like Ethiopian food is like randomly so different. I can't get into Ethiopian food. But I would like to, next time I'm in LA, I have to go to Something About Her. I want to meet Katie's mom. I love meeting moms, first and foremost. I love meeting moms. Love moms. Of course, I feel like I know Katie. But like, I love especially a mom who owns a business and like has a ton of restaurant, like food service industry experience. Like that is a woman that like is the best person to talk to on the face of this earth. She's interfaced with like probably millions of customers at this point. And she's basically like a fembot who's like trained to be nice. You know what I mean? I love when women are just nice and you don't have to even try. I'm not really kidding, but I'm like, it is just nice when that happens. You know, if someone, like if a woman calls you like sweetie or honey or baby, that makes it more of a Southern thing, but I'm like, damn, it's nice. It's just very nice. I hope Something About Her, I wish them truly all the success in the world. I hope they keep, open for years and years. Like it's sandwiches, you know, not hard to fuck up, but I think it's harder if you get too, real heads of the pod will know. I'm going to compare it to the place La Sandwicherie in Greenpoint, where it's like this French place that's like, oh, we serve sandwiches, but it's like, there's a deli on every corner. It's like, no one's paying $14 for a turkey sandwich when you can literally get a turkey sandwich everywhere for $5.50. You know what I'm saying? But I don't think that Something About Her, their prices are reasonable. They're at the top, but like, hello, running a business, it's very tough and costs are high. So I kind of get it. I think they're right where they should be. And I hope they have a lot of success. They don't have to change too much, at all. So anyways, wow, we've done, oh my God, hour and 15 minutes. Guys, holy shit. I have to, like, crack my back. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Thank you. Thank you for listening. Also, again, welcome new listeners. If you made it this far, holy shit. You're, like, locked in. I will be back soon. I mean, there's going to be... I thought there'd be, like, 5 parts of the interview. There might be 6. However, oh, Lord almighty. I might have to do, like, a marathon, like, 3-hour episode to get it out. Because, like, the month is... It's December 10th, so there's, like, 2/3 of the month left. But I got a lot to think about. Anyways, love you guys so much. Thank you for the support. If you like the pod, I really highly encourage you to tell a friend, you know, send them the Spotify, iTunes link, get them, you know, get them warmed up. But encourage them to subscribe to the Patreon. It's $5 a month. With inflation, I should be charging like 10. It's crazy. It's $5 a month. What does $5 get you? Like, think about it. It's like a roll of fucking toilet paper. Anyways, I don't mean to be a bitch. Just, thanks again. And, good night. Good night. Bye-bye.